Northwick kicks off the card, the steeplechase race for the first of two grade ones at the meet, that the New York Turf Riders later on. It's Coaching Club America Oaks weekend. We get to see Malathat undefeated. Kentucky Oaks winner for Todd Pletcher and Chadwell Stable, 5-for-5. And so it's an exciting weekend, a grade one weekend, like it always is up here at Saratoga. And I'll bring in my partner in crime here, Anthony Mormino, on the Thursday edition of Racing Across America. And I think the weather subsided. Like I said, we're on the turf and what looks like a pretty fun car. We're going to talk about the late pick five later on. We've got some replays to show as well. And you know, I hosted yesterday Racing Across America, and it's like we're kicking off week two already. It's just like you blink and we started last week, and all of a sudden you feel like we're mid-meet form here already, because it just goes so quickly up here.
And I know you got involved after the fact, but I'll tell you this, and I think if you know enough of us, that Seth included, many other friends you have, that when it was 4 weeks, I'm telling you, the schedule was so, it would be the Schuylerville, it would be the test, it would be the Saratoga special, not the Sanford, and the Whitney would be Saturday. And when the Whitney was run, then it was like a roller coaster who had already hit the apex and would just run out. The first three or four days, but then it was a blink of an eye. It was 4 weeks, you were out. Nowadays, I mean, something I had clamored for years, which is a five-day-a-week racing meet, I think is great for us. I think for the pros, I think it's you know, the pros are just anybody that comes every day.
Or works in this industry.
Yeah, it's terrific. I understood the argument why they wanted to run 6 days. I understand that. But the horse racing population, the 5 days a week where, you know, you can actually breathe a little bit, come back 5 days Wednesday through, I think is terrific. And I guess it's just easier when you're approaching 60 that, you know, you get a little longer break, something you don't have to worry about for a long, long time. But I love this schedule nowadays, and something that began really, I never forget this, awesome again in 98. The length of this meet, Brian, you have no idea how many horses just showed up for one race at Saratoga for many years. And we were discussing off the air, this would never happen, and that's fine. But I was wondering if the Coaching Club America Oaks was the first Saturday and the Alabama was the last Saturday, because, you know, I believe that Saratoga will be the, all right, good humor again, I can eat ice cream all day. That Saratoga meet is going to be the jumping off point for a lot of horses in the Breeders' Cup. And in the day and age when three-year-old trainers and owners of three-year-olds don't want to face their elders until the last possible moment, the Breeders' Cup, you'd have 7 weeks in between races. You get the Coaching Club American Oaks, you get the Alabama, see you at the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah,
you know, but they won't do that for many reasons, but schedule-wise, I think that would be pretty good.
You know, you mentioned the Whitney, and we didn't talk about it on the Handicappers Report. Did you see, and it's more maybe circumstantial than anything, that Kenny McPeak said, I'm going to run Swiss Skydiver in the Whitney?
Well, chasing Serena Song, who didn't win, but Personal Ensign and Lady Secret, 2 out of 3 years,
yeah.
And Serena Song, who was almost good enough. And ironically, and I know you did not know that, but the Serena Song angle in the Whitney, which I actually call the 45-degree angle, will be my first talking point of our first replay. But why not? She's already won, you know, beaten boys, and, you know,
Maxfield, Nixco, Silver State, Country Grammar. You're attracting mosquitoes.
You're in the same boat.
And now Swiss Skydiver. So the Whitney, it always is.
Now, I will say this.
Can't miss.
I will say this.
TV right now.
When Lady Secret won in 86 in the wetness, not the deepest Whitney field.
Sure. And neither was
and
the one
Personal
Serena.
Ensign was a three-horse field. Before people start yelling out Gulch, let's remember, Gulch was, I believe, 1-for-20 in his career going two turns. And that one was when Gone West wanted to stop more than him in the Wood Memorial. So Gulch going two turns is not Gulch.
Sure.
It was a short field. My point is, I'm not so sure Swiss Skydiver will have the same benefit.
Yeah.
Which is,
she's in deep water, not an ideal. But you know,
I can't even remember who finished second to Lady's Secret, but it was not a, I think
it's exciting though.
I do think Skip Trial was in it, but he was up the track. I don't know.
That's exciting. So
yeah, absolutely.
As we did last weekend, we want to bring some race replays into the equation here on this Thursday edition. This is going to be like a, this is your nuts and bolts, couple of degenerate handicappers here firing away on the Thursday racing across America. And we're going to look at some race replays. We're going to talk, last week, Anthony talked trifectas. I talked pick five strategy. He hit a nice trifecta on one of his suggested tickets. We're going to do the ABC pick five
Who's
segment
back in
a little
tomorrow?
Bit.
Jack Daniels.
Yes, I saw it. Yes. An MTO tomorrow. You're right.
Yes.
So we wanted to take this edition with the two of us in, you know, go outside the box a little bit and do some handicapping, nuts and bolts, and maybe get you thinking, like, you know, trying to elevate your game. If you're getting a little more serious at this game, if you want to get a little more serious about what different ways you can do that. And we both feel race replays are one of them. You've got three of them teed up from last week, from opening week. So stable mail is another thing that, you know, you and I are both highly invested in, and that, you know, you can put your horses in
to
a database. You can find when they see, they'll get an email notification when they run next. You don't have to do the dirty work of, you know, you're looking, my buddy Dave Panzer, who goes to the Teletheater quite a bit. I turned him on to it a couple of years ago. He used to get this crazy notebook where he'd write him in. I'm like, Dave, how do you find these horses? Get in 2021. So
Jesus, no.
It's a great tool. I'll just throw it to you. You've got three of them. These are from last week that Anthony had. Okay. And he'll talk. We're going to show all the race, the entire race.
Yeah.
Take it away. And these are horses, again, from last week that are probably going to run again in, you know,
well,
a
you
week.
Well, you count on almost maybe three in total races from them. And one of the things, well, this is the opening race of the meet, and I call it the 45 degree angle, and you see the eight Ectobar in the orange white silks dropping over. The first point I wanted to make was
in the back, right?
Well, now is in fifth with space. The first point was Ricardo Santana's on a nearly 20-1 shot. He was looking at, staring down the barrel of being five wide into the first turn. I call it the 45 degree angle. He eased back just a little bit and saved himself so much ground and having to use early energy. Now he's got space, or I think they call it air in NASCAR racing, and he's fourth right now. He's the eight on the inside at 18-1. Now I'm a trifecta guy. This is, you know, this is primo for me going down the road. But he's done his terrific work on a horse he's not going to win a race with on the first turn, giving you and me a chance. Now he's beginning to work himself because he doesn't want to get pinned in my belief, by Flowers for Lisa by Luis Saez. And he gets out to use position, and he puts in now Charlie's Archangel with the scratch, ended up being the 9-5 favorite, was avoided vet claim. And El Kabir, who I think had won in the off-going at Saratoga for Todd Pletcher before, is going to run second in here, just getting beat a neck. But Brian and I have emphasized, and I have believed this almost my entire adult life in racing, that the first furlong is far more important than the last furlong. And I'm going to ask Brian, our director, if we can run this back, just really the first 100 yards out of this, and maybe pause it to take a look at Ectobar, who was 18-1 and is obviously the key part of, and this is where I get confused, of a $63 exacta or $31.70. But a couple things from here. We get many 9-furlong races on the dirt at Saratoga, thankfully. We love both Serena's Song. Jerry Bailey got right over to the rail from an outside post position, made her life easy. She just got run down by Mahogany Hall for Santos, but she did great. Ectobar doesn't get the win, but two things it shows you: that the jockey's paying attention.
Yeah, that's important.
And that you need to be dialed into, that, you know, winning only one person, one horse gets to win a race each time. But winning type of moves are 18 to 1 shots that run a good second to a 9 to 5 favorite.
And make the number.
And they make the number. Trifecta guys like me often believe double-digit horses can run second and third easily. And it just showed you right off the bat, you know, Ricardo Santana, yeah, you can look up his win percentage. That's two-dimensional, takes 3 seconds, and you're in. But he showed you right there, he's in a bad position. I just want to check it out. Yes, he was post position 7, going 9 furlongs. And he knew right away, he used a little energy, saw what was going to happen, just like driving up the Northway, and got himself over. And I think most jockeys or whatever, I think, they, you know, you're going 9 furlongs. He got a chance to relax by being in his own space for a little while. Basically, he got through the entire first turn as comfortably as you could want. And I am a firm believer that that is what directly led to an almost 20 to 1 shot, pushing the 9 to 5 shot to the board. It's not what happened from the half mile pole in, where he got out so Luis Saez didn't pin him in, but he got that position because of what he had done the first 100 yards of the race.
Conversely, let's go to his second replay, and I'm just going to talk while we cue it up here. This is also opening day, race 5, number 2, appealing. We're going to show a replay for me later into the first term where the horse just, you know, loses all chance. But here's repealing the 2, opening day as well.
Right. Now
down
they,
inside again.
Right. They stayed in. The rail horse scratched out. Al Stahl for the debut puts repealing in, lets him run. And you can see the kind of stutter first half a step. And now, like, how often are you going to win from here?
Shuffle
in a baby
back,
race?
Yeah.
You're not. And I will also say that part of this, I began to feel on opening day that inside was not the best place. So now I've lost at the start. I drew the rail. And I'm just thinking all along this way, Joel Rosario, look at this. I got no place to run there because I want to stay on the rail. Maybe I'm getting taught. Now watch how quickly he goes around this horse and gets back to the inside, almost like driving a car, which we always say horses never do. And goes on and doesn't really persevere with the horse. My point was, and I think you picked up on this, boy, if anything looked like practice to me,
yeah,
this was a horse who, and I never thought about this, Brian, but I used to start to hear your snippets. Some guys will just scratch out because they draw the
sure.
rail. I never thought about that, but Al Stahl stayed in. Lost all chance to win the race within the first eighth of a mile, but then did some stuff. I always say this in Davey, show me at least 2 furlongs, and he did on the turn.
Yeah.
He showed the ability, he lost a little thing, but then he showed such athleticism to get around a horse like he was driving a car.
And this is a great one to show because most people are going to see this running line or they're going to look at the chart and be like, oh, this horse
dismissive.
Didn't do any running at all.
Dismissive.
You know, a bad, whatever this is, 6, I believe it is, a bad 6.
Yeah,
I didn't run, 12-1, and the other thing, too, is Al's not a debut guy anymore. He's probably 10-12%, which is fine. You remember this very well. 8-10 years ago, Al was 26-28%.
It was what he did.
The program shifted a little bit, so take note of that as well. That was a good one to show because, like I said, you have to remember, this is all in the eye of the beholder. Some people are going to watch that and say, I don't know, horse didn't do any running. Not really the point. It's what, in the middle of the race, what the horse shows. So one more from last week as well. I'll let you talk. The next day, 7:16, race 7, number 9, Bay Jewel.
In here, also, one thing, where did I put this here? Oh, one thing I want, before we run this, too late. My fault in here, folks.
The 9.
The 9 here, which is obviously, one quick thing. You have to watch race replays. You watch a head on. Of the first race we saw, at the finish of the race, now I don't know the relationship, but it stops 5 seconds too soon. Ricardo Santana, reached over to Irad, to slap him on the back. It's not like he just won the Kentucky Derby and joined the club. But I couldn't tell if it was joyful or what it was. But there's you can at least see there was a, you know, and they're not brothers, that there was a interaction two steps beyond the finish line between the two jockeys. I just wanted to, you know, talk about that because it's just bizarre things you say here. And now we'll go to the sprint race that, Brian, thank you for stopping it. Because I just want to mention that, like, sometimes when you have 29 hours in a day, you just come up with stuff. So we're looking at the 9, which will be easy to find here because of the turquoise silk. And guess what? We're going 5.5 on the turf, and we already have a problem. But I'm not so sure how much of a problem it is because we're just, like, casually getting into the race and just settling down. Remember, the rails are up here. You have Mubai, who I liked in here, who didn't do any bit of running. Too Sexy is inside, can't go anywhere. And what do I get? I'm going to get, like, the same bad experience. I think right now I have a ton of horse.
Looks like you have run right here.
And I don't have anywhere to go because Irad Ortiz is a great jockey. He sees the future, and the future isn't too good because he knows how can all of them get out of my way, maybe one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got to really just wait and wait, and you can't win from here. But he keeps going like a car and finding and finding and finding. And I'm like, stop again? And he does more running. He basically had no chance at the start of the race in these types of races. Saw a horse pulling and dragging his jockey in front of him that he's got to be thinking, that jockey's going to want the rail if it opens up. So I got to come up with plan C. Now it looks like he's going to finish maybe second to last. But he picks it up, kind of gets shut down a little bit again. That's not working out. Stand up. And he immediately accelerates again. Now here's the bad thing.
Beaten three lengths, by the way.
Right. This could certainly happen again.
Yeah. Well, that's the you know, damned that's, if you do, damned if you don't, of turf racing.
That's it. But you look at Bay Jewel finishes fifth as the beaten favorite, and it's not so good.
What was the comment line?
Saved ground near the rear of the field, came under coaxing at the 5/16, spun just off the inside for home, tipped out to follow the winner as the seam opened at the 3/16, then tucked back in, observing that the rail wedged against foes, followed, blah, 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 blah.
Okay, well, that's not a running line that says, wow, this horse had a lot of trouble. And it's going to read about five words.
Trailed.
Yeah, mild finish.
Even effort.
Right. And you
okay.
just saw it.
Maybe.
Sure.
Maybe he was. But one thing I liked, and it was the same thing with Repealing, is the ability, he didn't stop, so that's wrong. But to slow and to start more than once in any race is good. It's not good, and he had no chance at the beginning of the race under most circumstances.
That's a good point too, especially when you're dealing with a lower class of horses. It's one thing if I can't come up with a good example, but it's one thing if Tis the Law stops and gets going again. Well, he's a multiple Grade One winner. That's one thing, okay, because he's got major skills. But when you're talking about a $16,000 2L, they can't do that. So it's much more problematic for them. It's much more severe when it happens for those kind of horses because they can't re-break again and find themselves out of trouble or get out of a bad spot. They're not good enough. It's as simple as that. So you multiply that even more when it happens in a lower quality of race.
And just as a side note, that doesn't matter so much. And this is all projection, but as Jose Ortiz, is following, the winner, Too Sexy, with Joel Rosario, was the horse that was immediately in front of him that he was probably thinking, we'll get the first choice at the most preferred spot, and that guy's not going to miss it.
Right.
And that horse was Too Sexy, was the horse that won the race. So what he was fearing was accurate, but he still got close to him, so that's how it goes. And that's where I showed one that was 18-1 that showed how the jockey's decision-making early in the race helped the end of the race. And here's how a beaten favorite, who obviously I would get on here and usually poo-poo and everything, ran well enough. Not better than odds, obviously, but better than the race – unfolding.
Absolutely.
Would have thought. And next time you probably won't be 5-2 off this running line.
A beaten favorite, I believe that was 10-1 on the morning line. Loaded at 9-2, by the way, and went off at 5-2. First break here on Thursday edition of Racing Across America. When we come back, I'm going to show a couple of replays. Good segue, because I've got one, a two-turn race, where it goes awry into the first turn. Oh. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the West. I'm Scott Varley at Saratoga's latest and greatest high-rise luxury condo. Starting in the mid-fives, every condo here has two bedrooms and two baths and upgrades, just like this. Check out these oversized private balconies. We also have a gym, a private lounge, and get this, a heated parking garage. To make a reservation for your private condo at the West, call or text me. I'm Scott Varley at 518-281-6808.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
For four generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pennell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pennell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
May I interject right here? We showed you, I picked three races. I took a subject in each one of them. The amount of stuff I had for each one of them, you know, would make for less well television. My point is, there was so much going on in every race, and it's almost all subjective. So we're trying to take the bigger thing out for you to take forward. But it's more work, but I find it fun. I mean, obviously we love the game, but it's fun to watch horse races, and you know, we're always projecting. That's what our picks are about, etc. And you're like, you know, three races later, maybe I'll be like, maybe repealing isn't very good, but I'll be betting her on the comments. She's like,
it is a lot of work. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Let's show here. This is race three today, okay? Mongolian Humor is down inside today, going 7 furlongs. But we're going to show the race last weekend. He's all the way on the outside. He's the I jumped the gun here. He's the 8 on the outside.
On the far outside.
On the far outside.
You're too young, but almost the original style Calumet Silks, which were red.
This is yesterday's finale.
Yes. No, this is race 5.
Oh, here's Raffinity. Excuse me. Yes.
We'll take it out. We'll re-rack it.
We'll run it back.
Race 4 on my birthday. So
7/16.
Last Friday.
Race 5. So we'll bring it up. But this is a good example, at least, when we do get it queued up. Mongolian
Humor,
7/16, race 5.
Have you felt there has been a preferred running place on the dirt?
You know what? I haven't dug in that. I also think it's a little tricky, though, in that the off track has been, you know, we've run a lot of races on an off track. We're going to show Mongolia.
And moisture everywhere.
Yeah. But it seems to me like
the flow has been like
a little outside. Yeah.
Like very repeatedly. Like one thing I could point out to our viewers, like when you watch horses on the backside on the dirt and you can clearly see the saddle cloth number and everything, you don't need to watch head-ons to realize they're like in the three path or so. If you can see space under their girth, they're like in the five path, and that just seems like No one wants to dive down unless you're stuck there, etc. But
yeah,
I have felt as if, and I can easily talk myself into these because I got to find a way to like 15 to 1 shots. I'll also say one other thing. You guys let me know when you have it go. But just one other thing. When you do the races and your reviews and you make notes like Bay Jewel or something, I find them more believable going forward than, let's say I didn't do that. Bay Jewel comes up and I think sort of has a chance. I go back and watch a review. I talk myself into it.
Right.
But when you do it when you have no vested interest, I'm looking to beat Bay Jewel.
Yeah,
I'm glad Bay Jewel is 5-2 and off the board.
Yeah.
But when I do it that day, when I have no vested interest, I trust my thoughts more so than if I didn't and I said I like Bay Jewel. Then I start finding every negative that might lead to a positive for me.
Yeah, and it's when, you know, at 5-2, you have to determine, all right, we're going to bring this up in a second, but you mentioned the path and ratings and things like that. That's really in the eye of the beholder.
Ooh.
When you're trying to figure out, here we go. Thanks, guys. Good work. All right, here's Mongolian Jew on Mongolian Humor all the way on the outside.
Off,
now
you
watch
lost.
This, okay? You've already...
The jock's already hesitating. You already have a right. problem.
Whereas your guy, Ricardo, and this is not necessarily a jockey's complaint. This is just a bad post position.
Yeah.
Now we're strung out wide the entire way around. And it says 4 wide both turns. Well, was in the 6 or 7
sure.
wide there. Never really got able to tuck in, okay? So we're already giving up all the worst of it the entire way around here. Hung out wide, as we've mentioned many times on this show. 9 furlongs on the dirt at Saratoga. You just can't be in and outside.
It doesn't
post.
Work
the
out.
The run to the first turn is so, so quick, okay? So now we're still hung out. We're still wide. Now we're going to hit the second turn, and it's really not going to get that much better. A little bit more inside, but a proper 4 wide into this second turn. This horse is also 11-1 for Randy Purcell, okay? So this isn't, you know, we're not 2-1 Chad and Klarman dropper here, okay? We're 11-1 for Randy Purcell, and we're in a bad spot
right.
But let's watch him run here, okay? He's still wide. He's entering the turn here. He's still in not a terrible spot, all things considered. The trip he pulls, he's still going to get floated. Now, here's a more proper 4 wide. And you're like, okay, this horse is going to run 7th now, beating 15.
Yeah, he's already used too much energy.
Already. And he's, you know, no disrespect to Randy Purcell, but he's not going to come up here and win a lot of races. Whoa. Now he digs in again. You're like, is he going to win? And he fights on. He's 3rd, beating a length in what was a much, much better effort than you would have expected to get entering the far turn. And here he is, 3rd, beating a length. Today, wheels back, inside, 7 furlongs, 1 turn. I love the foundation he's got underneath him. He's going to get some speed to run into. He's tactical. I think he's in a really, really good spot today. He's in race 3 today.
And now, another thing also is, I used to say the 3 W's is death, wide, wide, and wide. First turn, back stretch, and the final turn. But also, he didn't do it gliding, like, which, you know, not that the geometry is beating you anyways, but he had to use extra energy at the 3/8
sure.
pole, the green and white pole now. You're like, well, he's already had to use energy badly, and now he's not scrubbing, whatever the in-between is. And he's supposed to run 7th at the 3/16
yes.
pole.
And that's kind of the tis the law kind of angle. Well, it's not really an angle, but what I mentioned before, you know, okay, those kind of horses can do that. Mongolian Humor, he can't do that.
No.
And he was still 3rd, beating a length. Let's cue up one more. This is Cause to Dream. He's in today's 7th race. This is from his last race, July 4th at Belmont. And he's just wide the entire way. And it's another horse that I thought ran pretty well. All things considered in the trip, he's in a wide open race 7. He's just hung out the entire way. He is, where are we going? He's coming outside here. The entire way, he's wide, wide, and wider. And he's still another horse that fights on, and he's going to add blinkers today. And that's what I think is a very, very good angle for a horse like this. Here's the winner, the 4, Bustin' Bay, getting first run. and now you see cause to dream. He was wide, wide the entire way. It's another race to look at the head on as well. You can really see how wide they are. But he fights on nicely through the lane. Again, these are 16,002 L's we're talking about. The blinkers are going to go on today. This was a better effort than I thought you were supposed to get. And this brings me up to my final point, and then we'll go to break real quick here. I think it's beneficial not only when you watch these replays to have the chart up, I really think it's beneficial to have the past performances in front of you to know what kind of horse you're looking at.
Yeah.
Because, again, if that was a graded stakes race, you know, the Firenze Fire running one turn at Belmont, well, who cares? He can do that. He just, it wasn't a great trip, but it wasn't a bad trip for a horse like that. Now, we're talking about 16-2 L's. You need to see what kind of horse you're dealing with. You know, from a low percentage, kind of an unknown barn, you say, well, you know, that was a better run than maybe you were going to get from that kind of horse. I'll tab that one going forward. So those are five replays. We kind of ran the gamut a little bit there today.
That's what horse racing is.
Yeah, and different kind of trips and different kind of things to look for. So just take note of that. When we get back, we're going to look at this late pick five, and I got my partner in on it today. Cool. He gave you about a $500 triple last week. We're going to look at the late pick five today in the ABC kind of format. Stay tuned after the break.
Juvenile fillies turf, 14 of them across the track. Wheels set on their way. End of the dance on the outside. Broke a little sideways with Broke KK, but meanwhile it's going to be stopped. But running on now, and Somali Lemonade's got eight to make up. They come to the top of the lane. Stop shopping. Maria's got a lot left. Stop shopping. Maria goes on. Sweet Cat is right there. Hard not to like. Royal Body is running on. Past the eight ball, they come. Stop shopping. Maria for the run. Still under a hand ride as they come to the 16th. Stephanie's Kitten coming out late. Yes, Stephanie's Kitten coming fast. Stephanie's Kitten, stop shopping. Maria. Stephanie's Kitten's watered.
Watched her chances, broke smartly, but so did Terra from the Cape. On the inside, Sky Lantern the Grey going well. If he can get through, can get through. Sky Lantern the Grey looking for somewhere to run. Wide, wide open. It's Terra from the Cape hanging on. Terra from the Cape tries to go all the way. On the outside now, here comes Flotilla in the light blue. Flotilla is absolutely flying. Watch the chances in there too. But Flotilla has gone right on by. And Flotilla is coming home to score. Flotilla has won it just about two in the end. It'll be Watch the Chances, Summer of Fun, coming on to finish there.
To the Thursday edition of Racing Across America. I got to catch myself. It's not the Handicappers Report.
No,
we're kind of sort of picking up on that theme, and it is the same two players. So we showed some race replays, and I like that because, I've mentioned that many times. I think it's wildly important in this day and age. It's one of the few things where you can do the work yourself. It's not easy. I don't know. It's fun.
It's hard to buy the data because it's hard to sell the data because it's so subjective.
Yeah. And you can do it yourself.
Not much of a market for...
Right. And I had Mike Welsh up here yesterday, DRF, and he does a great job with the works. You can't really do that yourselves. You can still kind of get out there and watch it, but, you know, Mike...
The three professionals' heads are spinning.
Yeah, yes, and they have the access to it. This you can still do yourself. You've got to dig in. It's time-consuming, but it's there if you want to do it. So I think it's a good segment. It's an important segment. Now we shift focus a little bit, and we kind of put those replays into effect a little bit, and we're going to look at this late pick five. I did it last week. Anthony went with his triples.
Well, yeah.
This should be exciting, though, because this is not, admittedly, he admits this, it's not your cup of tea.
No.
You're out of your element here, but this is a good sequence today. We've got a couple, not necessarily suggested tickets, but we're going to show the ABC grid and how I like to play this pick five. The casual player is going to put a caveman ticket together. And he's going to say, now, well, I'm going to go five by three by two by four by one. And here it is.
I have to ask you.
Yeah,
did you look at mine and how stupidly was it put together?
No, you know what? I didn't, because I wanted to kind of make for good TV.
All right.
So let's, let's bring up Anthony's ABC and take a look at it on this late pick five. So here it is here. Okay, and you just kind of run us through it. You've got three A's to start.
It's like the student should. This is, I am, particularly since I am guaranteed to be in the black on this segment for the trifectas now for the year.
House money, right?
Well, it's earned, and it's what I've done for a long time, and Brian and I have had long discussions about the pick five, and you've heard me talk about the show when certain races come up, and I just say to Brian, there are parts I understand, like you have to take this horse to go along, and that's a sentence that I have a tough time saying. You have to take a horse that I don't really like. So in this I think I did the math right, so this A ticket would be $54. Is that a ridiculously – well, I know it depends on your bankroll.
$54,
but
yep.
Two threes and two twos is. Am I supposed to have a single for the
no? And
more
that's the beauty of the 50-cent pick five. You don't have to have a single anymore at 50 cents. And quite frankly,
now was there a single on this card that I missed?
Well, you know, I'm singling Lovely Lucky. Okay.
Okay.
Because we talked about this on the handicappers report. I think she's going to be, at the end of the day, too good for this field.
Okay.
But you went a little bit of a different way. You did include her, correct?
Yes.
You did include her.
I just decided that in the A's, the ones that I would think I would say to you, you have to take this horse, and I've heard Andy and Anthony talk, in a defensive position to go on. Like you say, you just can't leave off certain types of horses and not go broke.
And this is also potentially a sequence today. You have to take what the race card gives you. Okay. I know you and I had a phone conversation before we got going up here, and you were like, well,
he thinks
I'm
trying to force too much.
Once for $25,000. Listen, that's awesome.
But wasn't quite my thing. I said if I had a $10,000 bankroll over the course of the year, I want to win $12,000, make 20% return on my investment.
Okay.
And I thought I could hit maybe $4,000 ones.
And that was just
a mathematical look.
And my
experience.
Comeback to you was that's fine and dandy, but you can't look for that every day. Okay? There's going to be several pick fives up here. And by the way, folks, the pools up here, they're getting 1-5 in the early pick five. They're getting like one,
obviously,
five, close to 1-5.
You're right,
on
and
Saturdays.
I'm wrong.
It's insane. It's the best bet in racing. But there's going to be pick fives up here that pay $284. Okay, and you need to look at the sequence and say to yourself, "I'm not playing for $240 today because, you know, there's Lovely Lucky who's supposed to win at even money." There's Wit, who's going to win the Sanford at even money. There's Bo Liam, who's heck to pay at 6-5. Identify what kind of sequence it is. Now, obviously, things can go cuckoo. They can go awry, and you know, Wit could have ran seventh, and that's where you come into play. And I get.
And on the backstretch, he looked like he might run seventh.
He did.
But then he showed on the turn how good he is.
And I understand all of that. And here's your ticket again.
Okay.
This isn't that type of sequence. And you and I are going to sit up here on a Thursday where we're going to say, holy cow, I could give you $800 and I'm not comfortable playing this pick five. I don't feel like, A, that's kind of it today. But B, you have to be honest with yourself and don't look for something that's not there. And if it's the $223 pick five, well, you might be able to get there on a $16 ticket and hit it four times. And that's where, as the player, trust your handicapping and just, I can't say it enough, don't look for something that's not there. So you've got a little bit of everything in here. You've got Lovely Lucky, but you've got, you know, typical you always like to look for value. And here's that kind of ticket. Let's show mine. And we'll see. Conversely, I think I was a $60 base on my ticket, and it does single Lovely Lucky. Now both of you and I have Portilla on top. So here's my ticket. Look, I'm $20 right after the $20 double here, 6-7. So look, I've got 4x5, and then I'm condensed a little bit. I single Lovely Lucky. Portilla's my play of the day. You have her on top as well.
Yes.
But I'm going to Dutch that race because Ice Princess is a huge, huge danger. And she is legitimately 6-7-5 in that race. So my ticket needs to be made early on. I need to get some value.
Yeah.
Early on. I also suggest within race 6 and race 7, maybe on this kind of ticket, and you can see my backups, I'll sprinkle in the B's as well. And I also think, first of all, I want to talk about race 9. I don't have any backups. I don't think it's extremely beneficial when you think, A, there's a heavy favorite, and B, your best bet of the day is a price. I don't think it does you any favors by using other horses. You just have to say, you know what?
Now, I think I'm a good handicapper. Here. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like, when I bet trifectas, betting Dak Daniels to win,
yeah,
kind of, and being right, covered the bet on the trifecta that I could have been easily wrong with,
yes,
but I wasn't. And Junior Alvarado, 31 shot, beating the chalk, helps the price. If you get through the first two legs here, is your insurance to pick three then?
No.
You roll it.
Well, here's what I'm saying. Okay, if you didn't catch the handicapper's report, my best bet of the day is Portilla in race 9, 6-1. 6-1 morning line. Anthony's got her on top, too. I don't care if two favorites win the first two legs. I don't care if I'm alive with a $40 and a $30 horse going into Portilla. Irrelevant.
Okay.
There's got to be some kind of win place bet. There's got to be something that you, however you bet, you're a tri player.
Yes.
You got to key her in the tri on top or something like that. I don't care what happens in the pick five. I don't care if I'm alive to, like, you know, Portilla all, or, you know, you got to still, it's separate to
okay.
me. You never, ever, ever let a $10, $12, $14 horse go by. You never let your best bet of the day go by at 2-1. If you're alive in the pick five and the pick four, you need to come back. It's separate. It's, they're apples and oranges. So I'm spread early. You know, we've talked about race 7. I mean, to me, you had three horses I didn't even have. I went five deep. The only horse you have that I do is the 10, and that's my fifth choice in there. That's the pick five making race, okay? And that's why I want coverage. You had some coverage as well. And then I'll roll the dice with Lovely Lucky. I've got the 2x3 late double. But I'm looking for my value in this pick five is early. And then I'm okay saying, you know what, let's get through those two legs. I want to make sure I'm alive. You can see I've got a 4x3 AB in the first leg. I want to be alive because my stronger opinions are later. And I'm willing to spend a little more early to, quote unquote, ensure I'm alive late.
Okay.
And there's your $60 base play right there.
And you can see that we're at race 10. Does that type of ticket indicate you think a race 10 is the most wide open?
Well, certainly, because it's...
I mean, I think it is. I think it's a great finale race, and you have multiples on the B's and the C's.
Yeah. I'm going to make a note of this because it's his own segment in and of itself that we'll talk about
next
week. We
could do 2 hours on this. I don't know that it would be great television, but I have so many questions.
There's a major flaw in C-level horses in the ABC format.
You've told me once you think too many.
Yeah.
You get too much invested.
Yes. So I'm not. We're gonna. We've got a Mike Dubb piece to show.
Yes.
That we want to show, and it involves Gary Contessa last year interviewing him, and then getting to this year when things came to fruition. But I want to make a note of that on the this C-level part in the late pick five. Brian, if we could show that ticket one more time, thank you. Thanks, Brian. That next week I'm going to introduce that, because there is a flaw when you bring in C-level picks. If you just put the C's in with your A's, it's going to be a $40 ticket. And it's just not right when the C's are 40 and your all A's are 60, okay?
It shouldn't be 65%. It should be somewhere around like 20 to 30%.
Exactly right. So I'm going to take us to break here. When we
you
come
should know,
back,
if somebody writes the Pick 5 book and it's 400 pages, I'm getting it the first day.
Well, I mean, it's good reading.
It's great.
What we're going to do is we're going to take our final break here on the Thursday edition of Racing Across America. We're going to sign off. Don't leave us, though, because when we come back, there's more to come. Mike Dubb from last year, but Seth talked to him this year. They've got a ribbon-cutting ceremony on the Faith's House, the backstretch child care facility. Mike does a great job. He's been on the board for New York Race. Of course, a very prolific, prominent owner. And this kind of started last year. It starts with Gary Contessa interviewing him last year. But Seth was there at the ribbon-cutting ceremony. It's a great thing that these guys do. So we're going to sign off. We've got about 10 minutes of covering that ceremony and talking a little bit about it. And it's just a golf clap to Mike, who does a lot for New York Racing, and he wins a lot of races as well. But it's the kind of the backside of what he does, too, that's such a great job. So Anthony and I will sign off. One more break here. When the show comes back, Thursday edition of Racing Across America, Mike Dubb with the Faith's House Child Care Facility, the ribbon cutting. Stay tuned.
For four generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
But let's get back to the Belmont Child Care Association. You're chairman of the board, and you did all that work. You had that vision for a group of people you really didn't even know. I mean, you weren't an owner yet. You have such an incredible benevolence about you that you would build that place and then donate it to the New York Racing Association.
Well, I guess, you know, having been somebody who did physical labor myself, which I did, I think I had a special connection to those people who worked so hard at the racetrack. And it was just an opportunity for me, as I was developing my own home building business and being successful, to do something for people who work so hard. And I am the chairman. Going back 20 years ago, I just wanted to build it and ride off into the sunset. But having watched the children come in and having watched their development and having watched the pride the parents take, in watching their children develop, it almost became like an addiction. I could never leave it. And, you know, we could talk about all the winners that I've had on the racetrack. I've been very fortunate, but it pales by comparison to the success of the daycare center and the joy that the children have given me and the parents have given me, knowing that in some small part I can make a difference in their life.
One of my favorite sayings is that if you can make a difference in the life of a child, this is to have truly succeeded. And I've always been a big believer in that. And if that's the case, you've succeeded beyond boundaries, which is really amazing.
Well, I really appreciate that. I look at the daycare center at Belmont and now the daycare center at Saratoga that's under construction truly as the gift that keeps giving. Yes, we give to the children, but the pleasure all of us. And it's important to note, I'm a builder, I'm a guy with hammer and nails, but the success of the organization, both downstate and here at Saratoga, really is a collective effort. We have a phenomenal president, Libby Imperial. We have a phenomenal director in Joanne Adams. We have a phenomenal board of directors. Some of the names you'll hear in racing, Terry Finley, Sol Kumin, Don Little are on our board. We have some great board members. Laura Barillo, who's just phenomenal. She's involved with the Jockey Club. And it's really a collective effort. I'm the guy with the hammer and nails. I'm the guy who wants to do, but it takes a team. So it's not really just about me.
Now, tell us about the Saratoga child care that's being built now. Was that also your vision, or was that a collective vision of your board? I think it's a fantastic thing for the kids.
Well, it was, I kind of sprung it on the board and just said, we're doing this. But the board wanted it, and the board endorses it, and the board's 110% behind it. We wanted to close the loop. We want to keep families together. In the summer, we had a situation where, often the mother and the children would have to stay downstate. The father would come up here to work. We wanted them to be able to all come here and know that they had a place for their kids. In a normal summer here, there are a lot of employment opportunities around the track. And so I'm not obviously in the backstretch, but ancillary to the backstretch, there are other employment opportunities. So by keeping the families together, I think the families can also, and knowing there's daycare, they can maximize all the employment opportunities there are here in the summertime created by Saratoga Racing.
Right. I think that that's a fantastic thing for you to have picked up on, because really that's what Saratoga backstretch was lacking. We'd send, me as a trainer, I would send five or six guys up here. They'd have to leave the wives behind with the kids, or they'd have to leave the kids behind. It's a great opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, we really want, NYRA has been supportive in trying to enhance the backside. We've redone the dormitories, the bulk of the dormitories there. And that's something, we want better living conditions. We have a few more ideas that we hope once we get back to normal we can do on the track that will really make the living better for people. And the other part of Saratoga with the daycare center is we have trainers who come from out of state in a normal year. And knowing if they come and they have a place for their children at Saratoga while they do their work, that will help also.
Right. Absolutely fantastic, and a great foresight on your part, and we really appreciate you doing that.
We are so happy to bring the most amazing, working, proven system of childcare and early education to Saratoga. Our program in Belmont has been incredibly successful. We expanded our program during the COVID and welcomed back our graduating students. So they were there all this year with their Zooming into their classrooms, but with individual tutors at Belmont Childcare. They never fell behind during the school year, and we are incredibly proud of that. We're looking forward to bringing the same excellent care and education here to Saratoga. Before I introduce the man of the hour, I just need to tell you a little background. Mike Dubb and I, at this point, I believe are the longest standing Belmont Child Care Board of Directors, and we began this dream over 13 years ago to build this facility. We have looked at countless properties here in Saratoga, and the fact that we are here, located on the Oklahoma side of Saratoga Racetrack, just proves that fate was soon to be had, and here we are, and we thank you so much for having us. Mike Dubb, who made this all vision possible.
So, I appreciate the kind words, Libby, but this is not Mike Dubb. This is this board. This is you. This is everybody who has supported the Belmont Child Care Association for the last 20 years. Just one thing we know, those of us who are familiar with the backstretch, the people who are out there are working incredibly long hours in incredibly difficult conditions, and they're chasing the American dream, just the way my mother Faith's father chased the American dream. And yes, I'm a guy, I have a hammer and I have nails and I know how to build things. I'll take that, but that's me. This doesn't happen without the entire support of this great board, all of the people, the advisory board, the Saratoga committee, all of the people. It's just phenomenal. So look, we can't go in the building today because of the COVID restrictions, but I'd really like everybody to peek through the windows, take a look at the playground, see the environment that we create. We know from downstate, and I start to sound like a broken record, a lot of times we get the kids at infancy, literally 6 weeks, and when they graduate in cap and gown, just like a building, we give them a great foundation. And when you have a great foundation, you can build a great future. And that's what we're all about. So, you know, from the bottom of my heart and our terrific, terrific board and everybody who has participated in this, thank you so, so much. Appreciate it.
If I can introduce our NIRA president and CEO, Dave O'Rourke.
Thank you. And on behalf of everyone at NIRA, I'd like to extend my congratulations to the entire BCCA team on opening Faith's House. Faith's House will serve as a special role in our community by providing working families on the backstretch with affordable and reliable child care and provide those children with a foundation. The success of Anna House at Belmont is any indication Faith's House here will serve this community for decades to come. I'd also like to extend our gratitude to our facilities team who worked with Michael's team to build this new child care center. And on behalf of NIRA, our congratulations to everyone involved, and thank you very much.
You've been watching Racing Across America. Racing Across America has been brought to you by... Racing Across America is brought to you by... Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga. Just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group. Leah Cars for life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
in the UK. And won over Horse for Money in race four at Newbury, Rolling the Dice. That's a maiden race of fillies over the 1,400. And this one caught the eye on Debbie, went fourth up a red car, won off a big, big price there. And then ran at Epsom last time, but you can forget that saddle slipped. So Rolling the Dice, worth a look in race four. In the paddock then for the first at Leopardstone. So some good horses on view at Leopardstone. They potentially could be some very good